This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, My Journey, Reflections on Life from a Cancer Survivor. And the author is Shirley Shirley, and we welcome Shirley, and yes, that is her name, everyone, Shirley Shirley. She married Robert Shirley. Shirley joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to everyone by Wespo Press. Hello, Shirley.
Hello. Happy to be here with you today.
Well, that's for sure, because you are a cancer survivor, and unfortunately, there are those, obviously, where cancer takes their lives. So this is quite a journey, and that's what this is all about, isn't it?
That's right, and it's how I handled my fears and the help that I was given that I hope to share.
Well, there's a cancer patient, Betty Propp, who says this about your book. What an inspiration your book is to me and my family. I think of it often and absolutely love it. It took me back to some of my childhood memories. So I guess it's really good for us to know that, you know, we're not alone. I mean, there are others all around us, and especially when someone takes the time and makes the effort like yourself to share your story. So I guess let's find out more about your story, Shirley. When did this all start?
Well, I actually started journaling as soon as I got cancer because I just thought it would help me. And every day I journaled about how I was feeling. But when I, after the major treatment was over, which was, over a year, then I went to Billings Clinic to a class that was offered on writing. And this, my voice, my expression, is when I started putting them into poems. And for 2 years, I put these together with no thought of writing a book. And when I got up to 90, I thought, wow, maybe I should share these with others.
And why did you choose this format, this style?
Well, it just seemed to come naturally to me, like it was given to me from the Lord, because I am not a writer. But it seemed to just flow, and my instructor didn't even teach us this format. But I just started writing on my own after going to class, and it just worked for me. It seemed to just be an easy way of expression. They're short and they're easy to read, and I think this helps cancer patients too.
Well, your book contains 10 chapters, and each chapter has a number of these poems in the chapter. Each chapter has a theme of sorts. Let's share a couple right from your first chapter where you said, writing helps me face my cancer fears. I guess you might as well start with the first one. It's cancer. Boy, what an awful thing to hear.
It is a shock for everyone. No one is expecting it when they hear that. And it comes as a great shock, and it promotes fear. But that in itself is not bad, because fear is a mechanism that is there to help us. It's how we deal with it that makes the difference.
Well, why don't you share that with us? Read that one.
It's cancer?
Yes.
All right. It's cancer, so where do I go from here? Dinah said, you will need a surgeon and an oncologist. Carolyn said, you should study WebMD. Janet said, I'll come and be with you. And Jan sent a book. Sue listened on the phone. The surgeon called for a lumpectomy. The oncologist ordered chemo. The radiologist prescribed radiation. I was overwhelmed, but found comfort in those who care. My whole life flashed before me as I sought comfort from days gone by. Now I pray for spiritual guidance to face my cancer treatment, to be with those who have given me strength to find joy in each day.
Well, so, that is
I kind of show, how you are so overwhelmed and everybody coming at you, you know, with advice. And it is quite a thing for a person to handle, and they can't do it alone.
How long ago was when you found out that you had breast cancer?
That was in September of 09.
September of 09. And was this all just suddenly you discovered this?
Yes, and I think that's probably the way with most cancer patients, because you don't feel bad usually when the diagnosis comes. And I felt the lump and went in, and there's a lot of waiting, because then you have to go through a mammogram, and then after the mammogram, the ultrasound, and then the biopsy, and this can take a while. And so it takes, you know, faith and even waiting for the diagnosis.
Exactly. It takes a lot of faith and a lot of help from family and friends.
Definitely. And they're having them here when you have that support. It is so much of a help, you know. We all need that.
So you'll be a friend to many who read your book.
Well, I hope so. And I want to even share it with others here that I have contact with.
Well, as you say, my journey, of course, the title of your book, is not the way that will perhaps work for everyone, but it is about the course that you followed. So, but it I'm sure will help relieve some fears of the unknown, even though we often obviously have to go through things ourselves before we really understand. Did you have anybody around you that had a former cancer victims, cancer survivors?
I had very few in the family. We seem to be very fortunate. So I had, even though I am a nurse, I had had very little contact with it in the last few, you know, quite a few years. And so I had a lot of learning to do, and that learning process is important, too, to understand, because every single cancer patient is different. And like you said, my book is pretty general, because I don't go into exact diagnosis and that sort of thing, but I go into just general fears that everyone has, and then I move on into the good things that can actually come from your cancer experience.
Well, chapter two is titled Journaling Also Gives Spiritual Guidance. Do you have a favorite there?
Oh, I do. And in general, the Psalms were so helpful and so comforting. And all of Psalm 27 was especially helpful to me, as well as Psalm 121, 1 and 2. And these I just got in my head. And it's so good to have these positive things going through your head rather than just thinking about the cancer. And, of course, music is good, too, Christian music, I found. But Psalm 27, 1 starts out, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And so right away, casting your fears on the Lord is such a help. And we now live in Montana, and so another of my favorites is Psalm 121, 1 and 2. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." These were especially good. And in Psalm 27, you just need to go through the whole chapter, because there's so many good things that speak to you.
Chapter 3, "My Childhood Gives Me Strength." Now, look, that was a look back that helped you?
Yes, and so many books written about cancer just deal with the cancer itself and how you overcame it. But like I just said, if you can get your mind on other things, it's so helpful. And as you recalled in reading from Betty Propp, that her family, they looked back on their childhood after reading my book and thought of things they hadn't thought of and shared those, and it was so helpful. So I go into other experiences of my life, and beginning with my childhood, and it was so much fun to remember, and I hope that these stories that I have about the home that I grew up in, the chicken house, the yard, will also bring back memories to cancer patients, that they will have fun things to think about.
Chapter 4, "My Family Teaches Me Courage." Chapter 5, "Gardening Gives Me Joy." Now, gardening was an important part of your therapy?
Oh, it's always been an important part of my life and my husband, too. We've grown up with it for us, you know, since we can remember as babies, and I've shared it with my children and grandchildren, and it's just really special, planting your own garden and working with it. And in that chapter, a really favorite one is called Beans, of how that I grew so many beans and worked with them. So that's a really special thing, and everyone has their special thing that gives them joy. And it's not, of course, gardening to everyone, but hopefully this will recall to people what gives them joy to think about.
Now, you also have a chapter, Sports Build My Endurance. So you're a cross-country skier.
Yes, and my doctor was so pleased with my activity during my chemo and all. For example, our daughter is why we moved to Montana. She lives close by, and I'd be on the sofa, and she'd call up and say, "Mom, do you want to go cross-country skiing?" And I'd say, "Oh, sure," you know. I'd get up off the sofa and get dressed and go out into the lovely outdoors and enjoy skiing with her. So all of my life I've enjoyed getting outdoors and finding that exercise really does make you feel better.
And you've also
trying to remember what my doctor said about that. He's I don't know exactly here, but he said my goal is to keep my patients upbeat and positive, and he was really pleased at how that this did help, having the exercise and thinking positively.
And you ride bike, and you've also, in Chapter 7, moving to Montana gives new perspective. Let's go to Chapter 8, Grandchildren Give Me Hope. Give us, why don't you read one of your poems there about your grandchildren?
All right. Well, this is probably the best chapter of all. One of my favorites, and of course, all of the grandchildren have just given me such joy, and I'm sure many of you experienced that. So what a better place to turn to when you have cancer than to your grandchildren. I would like to read to you Red Lodge Mountain. It was a most beautiful day. Last night, Charlie, age 11, called with a request for Nanny, age 76. "Will you take me skiing tomorrow?" And this, we're talking about downhill skiing now. "Call me when you wake up and see how I feel, and ask your mother if anyone else wants to go." The day was again beautiful when he called back. "It will be just you and me, Nanny, if we can go," he said. We loaded the skis and headed to Red Lodge. When we came to the scary mountain cliff drive, Charlie kept me informed of where not to drive off the side, or surely we would die. Ski boots on and tickets purchased, we got on the triple lift chair to soar up the mountain. After getting used to my new skis, I soon glide down like a graceful bird. Charlie prefers speed, like being shot out of a cannon. All day long, we would fly, he would fly, and I would glide, only to see each other at the bottom. High on the mountain, I viewed the distant mountains, all blue and white. I had never seen them so beautiful. As we drove home with the memories of the day, the clouds turned purple, the sky pink. And in my rearview mirror was an orange sky above the ski runs. Such was our day on the mountain.
Sounds wonderful.
Of course, after I had recovered, before I could downhill again. But these wonderful memories really keep you going.
Right. Chapter 9, God's Creation Gives Me Peace. Why don't you read one from there?
All right. I think the one on soaring. A lady just told me that bought my book the other day. She said, I asked her what her favorite one was, and she said it is soaring. Did you ever go up to the mountain and climb on a boulder to sit, to be still and empty, waiting to be filled? If the vessel is empty, there is room for filling. The imagination can grow, open to new beginnings. Like a bird soaring in the air, then gliding and hovering, until his vision is focused. When bent quietly on the mountain, all sound is hushed. Breathing is slowed, bringing peace within.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you.
Well, as A friend, I believe, says poet and member of the Humanities Montana Speakers Bureau. What's his name, Dave? How do you pronounce this?
Dave Casario. Yes, he was my instructor, and Casario. He has been such an encouragement to me. And he writes in the beginning of my book a wonderful introduction.
Right. Well, so. He says that your poems are direct, plain-spoken, and unadorned. Your voice is clear, true, and steady. And as you confronted the unknown from first diagnosis to treatment and the uncertain aftermath. So a great tribute to you, Shirley, and a great book, a book of hope.
Thank you.
A book of hope and of overcoming fears and, of course, praise of God, and has life. It's just filled with life. And, of course, we all face the unexpected. You never know when something's going to happen, right?
That's right. And I appreciate you including praise, because once you get through the harder part, you begin to look back and see how God has helped you. And then you are able to give thanksgiving and praise, which leads to joy. And so this is what it's all about.
We've been listening to Shirley Shirley. She is the author of her book, My Journey, Reflections on Life from a Cancer Survivor. And Shirley is a survivor with a big exclamation point, because she's written this book and for helping others. Shirley, tell us how to get your book.
It is available through Westbow Press. And it's also available through Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. So you should be able to find it easily. WestbowPress.com has it on their site, and they are my publisher.
Thank you, Shirley, for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you very much for having me. I enjoyed talking with you.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Westbow Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Get ready to live La Bella Vita with Dawn Catherine on TogiNet.com. Live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita. For more on the show and your host, check out her website, LaBellaVitaCosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central, on TogiNet.com. Mark Lipinski is coming to TogiNet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, a live two-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, The Courtship of Tucker Payne, and the author is Barbara Burgess. And Barbara joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to everyone by Westbow Press. Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
Good to have you with us. This is going to be quite a experience of understanding the trials and tribulations of Tucker Payne, the main character, and his relationships with some interesting folks, that's for sure, in this small town and what happens to him. He is a young guy who lives in the city of Detroit, and he gets into a lot of trouble with the police, and then, of course, he's sent off to this boys' ranch.
He's only about 15 years old when this happened.
15, and he gets sent off to a boys' ranch, and then eventually he ends up in this small town where a family kind of controls everything, right?
Yes, okay. He goes to live in a ranch for delinquent boys. And the people in the small town, they're always suspicious of the delinquent boys. But they're absorbed into the school system, so the people in town kind of have to get used to them. Mm. So he is going to the school system, and he is kind of a bad boy, and he gets into a prank that goes totally wrong. And the city father, who owns the church, he's the head of the school board. He's the head of the library board. He controls the police force. He actually is sort of gets hold of Tucker and kind of takes over his life, and he has to do everything this man says. So he goes all the way through the school system, and he graduates and from high school there. And he joins the Army. He goes to Afghanistan. He gets out, and he takes his student loan, and he goes to college, and he swears to never go back to that town again. He has nothing but terrible, terrible memories of that town. But the lady, the couple who ran the ranch, that was the only mother and father that he ever knew. And so when he gets a letter from his mother from the ranch saying that she is in terrible trouble. The father has died, and the ranch has closed down. And this character that kind of ruled Tucker's life is foreclosing. And so this is the only mother that he's ever known. So Tucker goes back to this small town to save this mother that he's never known.
What created this? We'll get into more of the story, Barbara, but what was the motivation? Why did you write this kind of a story? How did it all start?
I've always lived in the Detroit area, but when my mother was ill, I went up to live in Marlette, Michigan, which is a small town in the Thumb area of Michigan, and I lived on a centennial farm there for 2 years. And I went to a small church, the Second Presbyterian Church of Marlette. And it was just a little church outside town, very small. And I used this church for my characters. I made up the characters. the church is the Second Church of Marlette, Michigan, but the characters I made up because they're wonderful people. And my characters have quirks and little sins, and but anyway, the action takes place at the Second Church of Marlette, Michigan, and that's a real town right in the Thumb area of Michigan.
And how did you come up with this storyline? Where did that come from?
I like plots that have a beginning and a middle and an end. But you start out, but you kind of make it up as you go along. And so I think I based the plot on three words: forgiveness, love, and humor. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit comes to Paul on the road to Damascus. But to Tucker Payne, the Holy Spirit comes on forgiving his worst enemy. Also, along the way, he forgives
his friend who stole his girlfriend while he was in the Army. He forgives folks who try to screw him over. He forgets people that are just plain irritating. Forgiveness is the message of the book. But then next to forgiveness comes love and humor. I think I tell the story with humor because I think that's, you know, that's what saves us all.
Well, it's fascinating that this character, McDougal, who controls everything, is he just a tough guy? Is he just hard to talk to? And, I mean, he likes to hold all the cards?
No, he can talk is one of his best things. Because it's a farm community, he owns all the farmland. His family has been there forever. His sons and his nephews, you know, they're coming up, and he's just very, very powerful. He discovers that Tucker could be a salesman. He has just a great voice, and so when they lose the pastor of the church. McDougal offers to Tucker, would he like to give the sermon? Because without a pastor, the people of the church are taking turns in the pulpit. So Tucker, with no interest in Christianity, he actually, like when he gives a sermon, he just reads like one chapter ahead in the Bible. He doesn't have any interest in it. But McDougal discovers that he has a great presence in the pulpit, and he thinks maybe this can really help his church. So he offers to send Tucker to a seminary if he'll sign a contract for 25 years to preach. So that's probably more than you need to know.
there always has to be then romance.
Yes, and he ends up, he's being courted by McDougal to take over the church, but he's also being courted by McDougal's granddaughter.
So the granddaughter's doing the courting.
Yes, she's courting. but it's the Holy Spirit that's courting Tucker.
And so this is really a transformation, his story of transforming into a real believer.
Yes, yes, it is. It's Tucker's journey to faith.
Tucker's journey to faith. And along the way, we meet some interesting characters that are good people, but they have their sins, their little sins, as you call them. What are some of these sins that seem to get in their way?
Oh, there are sins that everybody has. too numerous, and in most cases, I make them funny.
Mm-hmm. So we have the sins of pride, right? You know,
yeah.
Gonna have it my way.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, we all struggle with that one, don't we?
Yeah, we all do. And by the end of the book, he doesn't have it totally all together, but. He has the Holy Spirit.
So he's come a long way.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
well.
And actually, he has it because as McDougal dies, he forgives his worst enemy, and the Holy Spirit comes to him then.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. I hope it's a story that's humorous. I hope it's a story people relate to. And I hope the characters are characters that everybody has met along the way.
Yes, because we have, let's see, of course we have Tucker, but we also have, like you've mentioned, Bob and Doris Duke, really the only parents he's really ever known. But they're not
right.
His parents. Did they ever adopt him? Or?
No, he returns to help Doris because Bob dies.
Right, but are they really his adoptive parents or just...
No. They just take in boys.
Yeah,
they just take
okay.
in boys. They don't adopt them.
Okay.
He is never adopted. But he is together with Doris. And, you know, this is kind of funny. There actually is a Doris and Bob at this church. And I sent them a book. And of course, Doris, she's really all together. She isn't like the Doris in the book. And she's really a really good cook. And all that Doris can make in the book is hamburger stew, you know. But anyway, I said, no, I just used your name. And so anyway, Doris and Bob at the church that is in my book, they are real people, but they're not not like the characters. They have it all together. They're really sharp. But I did use their name, and they said it was okay.
Well, you say, like most of us, the dear folks in my story are holding fast to their little sins, sins like false pride and prejudice, temptations, agitations big and small toward their fellow worshipers. Well, that's a tough thing to find common ground, to find unity. You know, that is so important in a small church and a large church. It doesn't matter, but it's human nature that we're all fighting, aren't we?
Yes, yes. And I find, and of course I've returned, and I'm in a suburb now of Detroit, and I go to a different church. You know, the people are much the same.
Now, this book that a friend of yours gave you that kind of triggered this, the Mitford Trilogy, was that the book that kind of triggered this?
Yes.
This
yes,
whole uh-huh. undertaking?
Yes, yes. It's about, you haven't heard of it?
No.
Oh, okay. I guess I thought maybe everybody had. It's a story of an Episcopal priest in a small town, I think maybe a New England town or something. And I just read it, and it's three books in a trilogy, and it just tells the story of the pastor of this church. So it's nothing like mine at all, except I thought, you know, it kind of inspired me, but it's nothing like my books.
And that inspiration is already created writing the second one.
Yes, yes.
And the name of that second book, and we're following Tucker?
Sounds from Beyond.
So Tucker Payne lives on in the second book.
Well, yes, actually, he moved, because McDougal is dead, the mansion next door is the church house. And so he moves into the church house with his family.
Yes, he's got 25 years he owes McDougal. After he dies, I guess he keeps his word?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes. So, I don't know. What more can I say?
Well, you've said a lot. You've really given us a good feel for your book, The Courtship of Tucker Payne. Mm-hmm. And we've been listening to the author, Barbara Burgess.
And he's being courted by a higher power, and he's being courted by McDougal's granddaughter.
Well, it sounds like it could have a happy ending.
Yes, it does.
Well, that's good. We all need happy endings. There's too much going on that often doesn't end in a very happy way.
Especially in a Christian book.
Yes, very good. Well, Barbara, tell us how to get your book.
Oh, you can get it on Kindle. You can get it on Amazon. I think everybody I know is getting it on Kindle because that's only about $7.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a wonderful technology today. And, of course, yes. Everyone can go to Westbow Press as well, your publisher, and find it there.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara. We really appreciate having you on Indie Book Publishing. Thank you.
Okay. It's been nice talking to you.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Westbow Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Want to be challenged in a powerful way to leap beyond what you think is possible? Then join us Mondays for the Leah Jansen Show. Every Monday at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com with Leah Jansen. Listen live as life coach Leah uses her coaching skills to give you the tools you need to take action and create momentum. You are encouraged to call in and share your greatest fears, challenges, and obstacles, and then listen as Leah obliterates those barriers to success. For more on Leah and the show, check out her website, LeahJansen.com. That's Leah, LeahJansen.com. Spend 1 hour with Leah, and you'll be captivated by her energy, enthusiasm, and magnetism. You'll quickly become addicted to her positive attitude and make-it-happen mentality. Ready for a life-changing, mood-altering show? Then get ready for Leah Jansen. And listen live to The Leah Jansen Show every Monday morning at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
People think I've made it. I'm popular. I seem happy all the time. I have great clothes and I'm involved in everything. But I have questions, doubts, and fears, just like every other teenager. That's why I'm glad for Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
The choices we have to make that can alter the course of our lives. Life is too much pressure if we try to go it alone. I tune in to Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell every week to get reminded that I'm not alone. Nicole Odell is an expert on what happens in the lives of teenagers. Join her as she deals with topics like peer pressure, purity, drugs, alcohol, and many other things that might come up along the way. She writes books and speaks to people all over the place, but she says her favorite moments are when she can pull up a chair and chat with teens about what's important to us.
For more information on Nicole and her books, go to NicoleOdell.com. Then join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Crack the Code Word 1, 48 Brain-Teasing Puzzles to Improve Your Logic and Increase Your Word Power. And the author is Catherine Eagleson, and Catherine joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Catherine.
Hello, Steve.
Well, great to have you with us all the way from Australia. It's wonderful. It sounds like you're right here in Texas with us.
Yes, it's wonderful. The world keeps getting smaller, doesn't it?
Yes, and you keep making the world bigger because you're bound and determined to make sure we increase our vocabulary, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Well, that's wonderful. And we want to assure everyone you increase your vocabulary. It does not put on 1 ounce of fat. Catherine has guaranteed it.
Absolutely.
We're being quite silly, aren't we? Anyway,
we are.
Anyway, it's that time of day here in Texas, and you're up early in Australia.
Yeah, it's definitely that time of day over here.
Well, let me read what you've written about code word one. Crack the code word one. What I have here are some testimonials by some of those who love your code word puzzles. For example, here's one from Richard. He says, I very much enjoy your code words, the best I've found. I suffer a lot of long-distance flights, and they're perfect to while away the hours between London and Sydney. Another person said, I'm in crossword heaven. You're such a challenge, but great. Well, you know, and that's the whole thing about these code words puzzles, right? They have to be a challenge.
Oh, they do. And the best thing about them is that they're, going back to what Richard said about doing them on a long-haul flight, they're very self-contained. You don't need a dictionary, a heavy dictionary to carry around. So you just can put the book in your suitcase and take it on your flight, and they're puzzles self-contained. You start off with your three letters or one letter, and you only have to rely on your logic. You don't have to. It's not like a crossword where you need to know all the answers. You look for the patterns and work. Once you've worked out one word, you can build up and eventually
crack the code and decipher all the word, the rest of the words in the puzzle.
Well, you need to be inducted into some kind of crossword puzzle Hall of Fame, because you've been doing this for some time, haven't you?
I've been writing code words for about 6 or 7 years.
And you had a website at one time that kind of generated a lot of interest that, what, led to this book?
Yes, it did. Yes, I still have the website. I put puzzles up on a regular basis, so which are, can be downloaded for free. So there's always an unlimited supply.
And that's crosswordsforfun.com.au, right?
AU, yes.
Yeah, meaning Australia. So what was the deciding factor in forming these 48? Why 48?
Well, I'd done a couple of trials, and just really it's the way the book's laid out, so you don't have excess pages. So 50 was too many, and 40, it's something to do with the printing, I learnt that it had to be done in multiples of 4 pages. So 48 worked. 50 didn't work, and 48 did. So 48 sounded like quite a nice round number.
So as we pointed out at the beginning, crack the code word 1. That means that this is the first volume. There's going to be more coming. But
Yes, there is.
Tell us again, help us understand the I don't know how to describe, code word puzzle. What is a code word puzzle?
Well, it's a crossword. It's a puzzle with a crossword grid, and you're given, instead of having clues, you're given a number of given letters. So you might be given 3 given letters to start you off. You might be given 2 consonants and a vowel. And you look at the, you transfer the given letters that you have into the puzzle. And then you look for the patterns using your knowledge of the English language, and you might require a bit of educated guesswork as well, and logic, but you look for the patterns to see where the other letters in the alphabet fit. Every square has a number in it, and each letter of the alphabet's represented. Always make sure that every letter of the alphabet's included, so there aren't any nasty surprises.
not any permanent frustrations. It can
no,
be figured
no.
out.
Where's the jail? Where's the when I'm writing them and I get to the end and find that I'm missing a letter, it's always very annoying. But I'd rather have that than the poor puzzler find that they're missing a letter or two.
So you're sure we in America, who claim to use the English language, of course, Professor Higgins, you know, at My Fair Lady, said we didn't. So, but you claim that we can do these?
Absolutely. quite a few of the puzzlers who use the website are from America and Canada, so they've said that they really enjoy the code words. So,
well, and you have a warning, you know, big red warning. This is to give you a real mental workout. This is not for the faint of heart. It's for those who have, want to work out. I mean, it's just a lot of fun, right?
Absolutely. And it gives you a really good feeling when you discover, oh, I've cracked the code, and then you can start working out the rest of the words in the puzzle. And when you've completed the whole grid, you really feel like you've had a good mental workout, but you feel like you've achieved something which is really good. And you can do it every day, or a few times a week, or just when you're looking for something fun to do.
What age would you say would be the minimum age to do this code word puzzle?
Well, I'm not sure there's a minimum age. I would have said probably teenage years. I think we're promoting the book to teenagers and beyond, but I know there are kids out there who are gifted.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably, there's no limit, really.
So great resource for teachers.
Yes. Yeah, well, the other feature of the book is that there's a vocabulary builder in the back of the book, which contains every word used in the puzzle book, in the puzzles. And the aim of that is to encourage teachers to use the book as a teaching aid and perhaps use the word list to compile spelling lists and to use the puzzles as an innovative learning activity for their students. Because I remember going to a teaching conference a few years ago now, and then it was said that particularly teenage boys enjoy quizzes and puzzles. It's something they can do on their own and be challenged by and feel like they've achieved something at the end.
Right, exactly. And also great for us older folks who just want a good challenge and also just to keep the mind really alert.
Absolutely. And we're never too old to, to keep our mind active and to boost our vocabulary. That's one of the things I enjoy most about writing the puzzles, that I'm always coming across new words that I've never heard of before. And I usually try and put one or two in a puzzle if I can, and that's the beauty of it. If you haven't heard of it, you can always look it up and learn a new word.
And
my husband's forever saying, "Oh, you've learned." I'll say to him, "Oh, I've learned a new word."
I'm gonna try it out.
No, you're
on
never
you.
Too old to learn.
That's right. And also, these code word puzzles are great to just kind of break the stress of the day.
Absolutely. Yes, if you've had a stressful morning at work, it's a great way. You can pick up your book and go and sit out under a tree with your lunch, or go and have lunch in your favourite cafe and just sit down and do a puzzle. And if you don't get it finished, well, it's there to keep going with on the way home, but on the train, or they can just be done. They're very portable. They can be done anywhere.
What would be the resources, the dictionaries that would be best to have maybe nearby?
Well, I use the Macquarie Dictionary quite a bit, and the Oxford, and the online version of the Oxford Dictionary is very good, and I use the Chambers Crossword Dictionary, which is looking very worn because I've used it so much.
Well, as you put it so well, it provides hours of entertainment and fun. It maintains great brain health, and, of course, it increases our vocabulary. It sounds like the perfect gift. And, yes, ladies and gentlemen, the answers are in the back of the book.
Yes, they are.
The puzzle, the completed puzzle, is there. So Catherine isn't going to allow you just to go crazy. No, she is provided, but don't look first. That's not going
to
help.
So a friend of mine said to me the other night, oh, I'm going to have to tape down the ads so I'm not going to stop tempted to look at them.
Well, I guess each to his own, right? So much for the increased mental activity.
No, she wouldn't do that.
No, of course not. Of course not. No, we won't say who she is. Anyway, Catherine Eagleson, we've been hearing the great description of Crack the Code Word 1, 48 brain-teasing puzzles to improve your logic and increase your word power. Catherine, tell us how to get your book.
Well, it's available from Balboa Press, and it's on Amazon and Barnes Noble, and it's also available in ebook on various ebook websites around the place as well.
We've really enjoyed having you with us on Indie Book Publishing, Catherine.
Thank you very much, Steve.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Balboa Press.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.